Barbarian tribes of Rome, the Anglo-Saxons, Roman Britain, and then Roman sub-Britain. Now, the last time any Roman noble would provide any significant change in Britain was in 407. Less than a year earlier, several tribes, including the Suebi, the Alans, and the Vandals, crossed the Rhine River. Britain's Roman soldiers were few and far between, and with the news of barbaric tribes crossing the river, they rallied to defend the island from a possible invasion. Constantine III, a soldier, was chosen as their leader, and shortly after, he declared himself emperor and crossed the English Channel to look for support in Gaul. The current Western Roman emperor, now the adult Honorius, had to deal with a Visigothic threat, so he had no manpower nor time to deal with Constantine. This gave the leader of the British Romans an opportunity to extend his rule over the territory belonging to today's Spain. However, his rule would prove to be a short one, as early in 409 his troops began to desert him, favoring Honorius. In addition, the continental Saxons were raiding Gaul at an alarmingly increasing rate. Constantine's son and other loyalists were murdered soon after. In 411, Constantine III was assassinated. Before any of this happened, however, Emperor Honorius suffered a major defeat. Namely, in 410, the Visigoths sacked Rome, which was the first time any outside power had taken the city in nearly 800 years. Of course, the royal court had long since moved to Ravenna, but the sacking was nevertheless a shock to the world at the time. During the same year, the local Britons allegedly asked Honorius to assist them with barbarian raids, which had only increased since the time of Magnus Maximus. In a response called the Rescript of Honorius, the emperor supposedly told the locals to defend themselves, as he was obviously preoccupied with defending continental Roman lands. Some historians speculate that he didn't write the rescript for the people of Britain, but rather for the people of Bruttium in Italy, known today as the region of Calabria. Whatever the case, the political events in the Western Roman Empire left it unable to defend Britain, hence why the date 410 usually marks the definite end of Roman rule on the island. Well, normally people think that 410 is the year that everything Roman ended with Britain, perhaps it was no longer part of the empire. However, it is far more likely, even without any written or archaeological evidence, that Roman culture lingered for a few decades longer. One key element of the Roman culture that survived in Britain was religion. In fact, Mass was conducted in Latin, and most literary sources we have from this period point to Latin still being the language of the church. Most written sources from sub-Roman Britain come to us from churches written and collected by men of the cloth. Gildas, De Exidio ex Conquesto Britanniae, on the ruin and conquest of Britain, is possibly the best known work from this time period. With the venerable Bede's Historia Ecclesiastica Gentis Anglorum, the ecclesiastical history of the English people, coming roughly two centuries later. Namely, Gildas probably wrote his work around the 6th century, or the 500s, while Bede came out about 731 Common Era. That would make the forerunner of the two a closer contemporary to what we call sub-Roman Britain. Even though there's a gap of at least one century between Gildas and his writings and the Romans abandoning Britain entirely, most scholars see Gildas's work not as a completely reliable. This is because it wasn't written as a historical overview of contemporary Britain, but rather as a sermon where the priest condemns the actions of the people living on the isle. However, if some of his descriptions are to be believed, sub-Roman Britain thrived, to some extent at least, without direct Roman jurisdiction. People were likely engaged in rebuilding projects, most of which included work on sewage systems and even new Roman-style baths. This much can also be extrapolated from actual archaeological data. People still retained Roman law. The clergy spoke and wrote in Latin. However, it is more than likely that original Romans, people who weren't Britons, or really any other ethnic group, had either moved or outright blended in with the locals. The question remains, though, what did the Anglo-Saxons do in sub-Roman Britain? Bede attests, using a variety of sources, both oral and written, neither of which are 100% reliable, that each migration of the Anglo-Saxons and Jutes took place in three stages. The first stage would include individual mercenaries dropping by and exploring British soil. The next stage was migration, where hundreds of tribesmen would board ships and settle in Britain, usually resulting in clashes with the locals. The final stage was establishing autonomous lands. A few less than reputable sources claim that around 441 CE, most British provinces were under direct rule of the Saxons, and while there at least some archaeological evidence of burials of Anglo-Saxons taking place at this period, nothing substantial can confirm that they were the overlords of the southern part of Britain during this time period. Gildas does claim in his work that the East was given to the Saxons as part of a treaty that the locals signed to help alleviate some of the attacks by the Picts and the Scotti. The Saxons, or rather the Anglo-Saxons, since Gildas used one term for these tribes, would pay tribute to the locals as a consequence of losing the Battle of Badon Hill at some point either in the 5th or 6th centuries. Eagle-eyed readers will spot that none of these dates are particularly accurate or definite. That's because sub-Roman Britain has precious little evidence to offer us. The best thing we can do is to have educated guesses based on archaeological, written, and oral evidence. So what you have here, this is something that usually gets glossed over. You see how he was discussing that they came in with kind of like a scouting expedition, and then a few more people came in, and then the larger groups came in and took over sections. But it's really important to notice the mention of that originally there was a deal that the Saxons and their other people could come in to the east, and they could have that land in return for helping the Britons against the others, the Picts and the Scotti and the other invaders from the north and from Ireland. And then what probably happened, very simply, is the Saxons realized that, hey, these people are, why are we spending all this time and our money to defend these people when we could take it all ourselves? And this darkened period between the early arrivals and the setup is the period where you have a lot of the Arthurian legend. So next time I'm going to talk about what was going on, because we have little kingdoms, particularly in Wales, that come into existence. And then I'll mention some of that. And then we go back to the Anglo-Saxons and Jutes. You notice that I'd mentioned before that Gildas doesn't use the word Jutes. It's just Angles and Saxon. And another thing that comes into play is, why are the Saxons have a large contingent area in Germany, but the Angles and the Jutes are around Frisia and part of Denmark. And of course the Danes are unifying their country and booting them out, so they need to find more land. And the problem is the Jutes and the Angles, in order to get more land, would have to deal with the Saxons. So it would be easier to join up and go to a third party, Britain, and get your land there. So that's what we'll be doing next time. Now, the sources for this: The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Attila the Hun by Worrell, The Burgundians by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths by Burns, and The History of the Vandals by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.